Scott Quell, senior principal at Accenture Federal Services, and Simone Zickman, the chief technology officer at Attain's Federal Services Division, my guests to talk about collaboration in the CXO suite. Gentlemen, I want to thank both of you for coming. I've been looking forward to this conversation for a long time. The concept of collaboration in the CXO suite is not new, but it has not been fully realized. There's a lot of potential that still exists in federal agencies, is what I hear from folks who live in those jobs, the jobs that you did. And so the conversation that I hope to have today will take us through the steps of building that collaboration for folks who either hold the jobs that you held, similar jobs, or aspire to at some point in time. And let's start with the moment or series of moments where each of you realized that the organization was going to benefit, and therefore the taxpayer would benefit, by a closer, tighter working relationship among each of your areas of expertise rather than continuing to work in silos. I'm going to start with you, Simone, since you and I have talked about this before. I don't know if there was a particular moment where somebody said, hey, we should do it this way, or if it was an evolution or what that process was like. But at what point or what chain of events or whatever happened that led you to think this would work much better if we were doing it differently than either we've seen it done other places or than we've been doing it up till now?
Well, so I wouldn't say there was a moment where I said things would work better if we're doing things differently, because to be honest, things started out with a very collaborative tone from when I first started at Commerce. Scott had already been there as the CFO when I had arrived, and he set a very collaborative tone to begin with. The one moment that does stand out in my mind was early on, as I was getting up to speed, meeting a variety of people and getting invited to a number of meetings. Scott invited me to a meeting of the Department Management Council, which is essentially people who are chief operating officers or equivalents, the senior most career people under the political leadership of Commerce and the various bureaus, the sub-agencies. And Scott invited me to a meeting very shortly after I started there. And one of the first things that he said at that meeting was he introduced me and chatted about a few things. And then he said, well, I think Simone should be a member of the Department Management Council. At the time, I had just been invited to a meeting, and I presume that prior to my arrival, the CIO had not been formally a member of that group. And there was unanimous agreement that it made sense. And from then on, I had attended regular meetings whenever they occurred. And that was very, very much Scott setting a collaborative tone, but also an opportunity to interact regularly with the people who are making very important operational decisions about management of the department at the headquarters and at the bureau level.
Was Simone's observation correct, that the CIO previously had not been part of that and that this was a new development, or were you just continuing something that had been done before, Scott?
I can't really speak to a past practice, but what I do know is that there had been a longstanding tradition of integration at the C-suite. The position of Chief Financial Officer and Assistant Secretary for Administration was one created before I had arrived. It clearly spoke to this idea of an integrated C-suite. Given how important technology is to delivering the mission, the huge level of investment necessary to make technology work, the importance when it comes to acquisition, in addition to budget, in addition to mission, in addition to transparency and security, you have to have technology and the CIO at the table.
Mm-hmm. What was the reception like? Now, he said the response was unanimous. I imagine there might have been some dissonance under the hood that not everybody knew about, or whatever. This is a culture shift to have somebody involved in a place where he or she may not have been involved before. And I wonder what kind of change management goes into that, if any.
I have to say, the whole purpose of this Department Management Council, mm-hmm. and beneath that, the CFO Council, the CIO Council, the Acquisition Officers Council. Imagine Commerce, like a lot of cabinet-level departments, is not a single monolith. It's composed of many component bureaus, each with its own mission, but integrated and with a common shared set of values and ultimate direction with the department. So to do anything, there has to be a culture of collaboration. And so I think that in having the CIO there at the table was welcome. Mm-hmm. I had nothing but positive reinforcement about that. And in fact, given how little time there is and how many priorities there are from all directions, that and given the importance of technology, having the CIO right there able to help shape strategy, help engage directly with counterparts from our bureaus, it was essential.
Simone, you came into that position, and we've spoken before about the visionary role that you wanted to play as the CIO of the agency, the strategic role, not just the BlackBerry guy and the an ops person. How did you go about gaining the trust of the people like Scott, the other folks in at the CXO level, but also in that management team who weren't necessarily reports or weren't necessarily your peers, and that you wanted to listen to you and follow your advice, not because they had to, but because they understood the value that it added to the agency?
Well, I think that's an interesting question. Scott, his personality, as I mentioned, is collaborative, and I don't feel like I had to do a tremendous amount to earn Scott's trust, because he essentially had an open mind, and I think the trust was almost assumed unless somebody proved otherwise, and I think we just clicked interpersonally. But you're right, at a larger organization, a council with different people, you have numerous different types of people and different personalities, different perspectives and priorities, and I think the key is really to be able to communicate effectively, to come across as having an agenda that really is focused on the greater good, mm-hmm. as opposed to a personal agenda. And clearly, you can't have conversations where there are competing priorities and not have people concerned about how things affect them locally. Mm-hmm. Those don't necessarily need to devolve into a turf battle, but they could if they're not handled well. So I think the real issue is just to communicate effectively, to really look at things from an objective basis, mm-hmm. and always have reasons for decisions that are being made so they don't seem arbitrary, to have real data underpinning the decision so that you can present not just a notional argument, but a real formalized type of business case. And that was something that Scott was very supportive of and helpful with, particularly because a lot of the things that we were interested in doing from a portfolio management perspective, IT acquisition perspective, had budgetary and financial implications. And Scott was very not only open, but personally active in driving the understanding of economic or budgetary types of impact, looking at spending patterns and how they could change and how they might be improved. So from the CFO perspective, I think that Scott supported all those types of changes as well.
Now, Scott, you obviously then created a team who was willing to take Simone at his word, new in the organization or new in that role at least, and they bought in, it sounds like, because you said that they could or should. How do you go about either consciously or unconsciously building that kind of an organization where, okay, well, Scott says this guy's somebody I should listen to, then I should listen to him, even though I don't have to. This is somebody that I can trust, that I can buy what he says.
I think ultimately they do have to, because if you look at when people talk about efficiency and effectiveness, those are words that are tossed out quite a bit. Certainly the matter to everybody in the federal department, certainly CFOs included. And when you start engaging your colleagues, what does that mean? If we were to, in practical terms, well, let's deconstruct what we're spending money on. Let's deconstruct how we're going to deliver twice as much mission with an 8% lower budget. Or how are we going to proactively take efficiency initiatives, undertake those before somebody else tells us where we're going to have to cut? And invariably, you're going to need to talk to the folks who manage technology. And so from a change management perspective, from an objective decision making perspective, you must include your colleagues within the CIO portion of the C-suite and in the component units within the bureaus. I would say, for an example, about a year and a half before the sequester hit, we didn't know what it was going to be called, but there was an understanding. One, we wanted to be more efficient no matter what. It's our obligation to stewards taxpayer resources. And second, it was clear that we were going to have to take some proactive action to be as efficient as possible to be able to afford investments in their highest priorities and to be able to absorb reductions if the fiscal climate were going to warrant such reductions. And so when we came to looking at technology, we looked at, for example, let's start looking at how we're buying things. IT acquisition. Now, is IT acquisition a budget issue, an IT issue, or an acquisition issue? The answer is, of course, it's all of the above. Mm-hmm. And it's a mission delivery issue because it's the people, the end users who are delivering excellent service to the public every day that need to be able to use the technology that works and is reliable and secure. And so we actually undertook some analysis of how our IT acquisition spend, hand in glove. Was it the CIO's analysis? Was it the CFO's analysis? Was it the Chief Assistant Secretary for Administration? Who cares? It's the analysis. And we had a fora where everybody understood why we were analyzing it, what the rigor of the data, and we presented a business case that said, look, in a number of commodity acquisitions, personal computers, for example, we have there's almost 200 contracts to buy basically the same type of personal computer. And I don't mean supercomputers. I mean kind of computers that are right over there in the mm-hmm. studio that we all have on our desk. And sometimes we're paying with incredible ranges of prices basically for the same product. And we agreed, as opposed to having to reduce mission or do other things that nobody wanted to do, what we're going to do is we're going to be as efficient as possible. And so we're going to go from 200 contracts to buy that personal computer to one. And we're going to do it through small business resellers so that we'll be supporting our small and disadvantaged business goals. And essentially, critically, those computers have to still be able to deliver the mission. So we're going to have groups of end users who are going to kind of agree amongst our bureaus what the four flavors of personal computer are going to be that will meet the mission need. And once the requirements were established, we ran an open competitive process and, millions have saved. Tens of millions, I believe, have been saved. Would any of that have happened without the CIO and the CFO working together? No.
A couple of concepts there that you've talked about that I want to drill down into. One of them is, Scott, you mentioned the component units within the bureaus. And I wonder what the relationships look like as people saw what you were doing at the agency level, whether you saw the same thing germinate within each of the bureaus, 12, I believe, across the Commerce Department. And I also wonder whether you saw it pushed down within your own offices, where your deputy and your deputies and the people underneath you started or continued to have their relationships grow and evolve and become more collaborative as they said, those guys are doing it, we should get on board too. Simone, is that something that you saw?
Yeah, I think we certainly did see that. And I think it's not as much because certainly people work together because there were new demands placed on them that required them to work together. But I think it's also, people tend to observe and then emulate the tone that's being set from above. And mm-hmm. I think that as people saw this type of collaboration happen, it helped set a positive example for replicating that just as you're describing at lower levels.
Mm-hmm. What are the things, what were the payoffs that people saw? Were there specific ones or was it just an overall sense that, hey, this is working better than it's worked before? Or what did it look like, do you think, for the people who saw it working in the C-suite and said, we should go there too?
That's a little hard for me to say because I wasn't there to observe
sure.
what happened before I was there by definition. But I do think that one of the problems that you run into when you don't have that tone is if you have any mistrust at all, mm-hmm. whether it's well-placed or misplaced, it's simply an obstruction to progress. If people cannot work together towards common goals, then it makes doing good things more difficult. And I think when people saw some of the positive things that were happening and ultimately things, actions and activities and collaborations turning into success stories, everybody saw a benefit to working together more.
Scott, how important is it to tell those success stories? I hear from people inside agencies all the time that it seems like we're a little bit leery to talk about ways that we've done well because people want to be humble. They don't want to be self-serving and make it about me or my team or whatever at the expense of others. But it seems to me it's important to tell those success stories in some way so that people have a sense that we're on the right track. We're going the right direction.
I'd agree. There's remarkable management going on, remarkable successes going on every day. It's my understanding. We used to be on a track of about 7% of compounded growth in IT spending year over year. And the last, I think since like 2010 or so, nine, it's been relatively flat. In fact, I think even in the 15 budget, IT spending, proposed IT spending may be going down. Like, when's the last time that's happened? So how does that, and yet, if you consider, we have the lowest, I'd like you to correct me if this information is wrong. We have the lowest level of full-time professional or full-time federal employment, civilian, since the mid-60s. And yet we have over 100 million more people that we're serving.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how's that happening? Well, I would think notionally, intuitively, I haven't studied it, but I would think technology is a big reason why. And so if we have these, we have people doing remarkable work every day to deliver the mission, using technology. And so as long as you have facts, getting back to Simone's point about data, you have facts to back up what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You have sound, and this is where, again, CFOs and CIOs get together, sound and some internal control, some good order and method of how we arrive at our conclusions, whether things are working or not. We have some means of transparency for saying, do we have a dashboard that's capturing the information? Can we show how we gather the information and what our methodology is? If we're claiming savings, have we defined what savings is, and have we defined how we're going to count it, and then are we verifying that it's true? If we're doing all that stuff, of course you should share it. You should be proud of it. And people join, I think, any walk of life, but any profession, but certainly a federal service, to serve. And if they're serving well, they should feel confident about sharing it.
It sounds like it's the root of all of this, the root of the success that you had that was recognized by folks at other agencies, I might add, is some of the most basic communication skills that we read about in the management books and the advice that we hear from management consultants and experts. It sounds like that's really what you're getting at, that you guys and the other members of the CXO Council inside the Commerce Department, formal or not, made it a point to engage each other on an ongoing basis with all kinds of information, not just data, but exchanging information and understanding, taking some time then to go. And Scott, you lived in Simone's world for a little bit and understood what that was all about, vice versa. Am I on target there? I mean, I don't mean to minimize it and make it sound like it's simple. I'm not suggesting that it is. But the concept that's behind the basis of the relationship, that part does sound like it's fairly simple, and it just involves knowing what the other guy or woman is going through and working with. Is that on target?
I think conceptually, yes. I mean, I think part of the reason why you want to share success stories is to reward people for the good work that they do with credit for the work that they do. And Scott, for example, was recognized with a Fed 100 award for a lot of the very important work that he did at Commerce. But the other piece of it is that sharing success stories results in sharing of information. And what that does is it lubricates future success stories. And so we were able to take what we did. Scott mentioned the PC purchasing contract at Commerce. That was the first real initiative of that sort that we did. But because it was successful, it made it easier for us to sell future initiatives of the same sort. Mm-hmm. And we followed on and did similar things with purchasing of Adobe software and cloud email and networking equipment and numerous other similar types of initiatives. Anne Rung, who is now the director of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy at OMB, actually started her federal government career at Commerce. Scott brought her over from the state of Pennsylvania, and she helped us kick off several of these strategic sourcing types of initiatives. And the good work that she was doing for us led to some recognition that ultimately brought her to GSA, where she provided that kind of guidance and input into their activities, and ultimately now at OMB. So the ability to share that type of information and success stories really makes it easier to replicate good things that have been done in one place in other places.
What's the future of this collaborative relationship? Scott, I'll start with you. If you were sitting down with somebody now who's coming into an agency at the CFO level, and he or she is thinking, I want to build these relationships, I want to go in there, not assuming that they don't exist or do exist, but being open and being receptive to that kind of collaborative relationship with my peers. Is there a checklist, or is there a top five list that somebody should be pursuing, or is it more complicated than that, or more simple than that?
I would bend over backwards to the CIO and the CIO's team and the acquisition team and colleagues from at the bureau level on defining what acquisition risk means. And including a large bunch of that's going to be IT acquisition risk, and then having an objective way of defining it and managing risk up and down the organization. I would sit down with the CIO and the CIO's team and the Office of the Secretary, Bureau Leadership, and I would what is one immensely impactful technology-based digital government initiative that we could do without a ton of new investment, simply by repurposing the resources that we have to make a big difference on people's lives, on citizens' lives. And I would cite Business USA at Commerce as a perfect example of that, that could not have possibly happened without the support of the CIO, that was really started and paid for ultimately, initially, certainly, and I think principally, by internal efficiencies. And now you have, again, talk about breaking down silos, over 20 federal agencies and thousands of federal programs that are other information. They're available to anybody with the access to the internet who wants to save, what do you want? And instead of having to sift through 3,000 websites across the federal government, bang, you're directed to where you want to go and what you need. That matters a lot to people, whether they're from Wisconsin or New Mexico or anywhere, and it matters a lot to, and it can't happen without the CIO and CFO and their teams working together. So lightweight, quick win, digital government initiative, budget formulation, IT acquisition risk management. Those are the big three.
Simone, same deal. Somebody going in as a CIO comes to you and says, how do I really begin a collaborative, interactive, positive relationship with the other CXOs in my agency? What do you tell them?
Honestly, I think a lot of it comes down to people and personalities. There's been a lot of debate, particularly in the context of legislation that's focusing on empowering CIOs, and the question that's been kicked around for many, many years of whether CIOs should be political or career or some combination of both. And you often hear references to giving the CIO a seat at the table, mm-hmm. this proverbial table where decisions get made. And whenever it came up when I was around, and I recognize that this is not universally true, and there are situations where, in fact, perhaps the exact opposite is true, but I never had a problem having a seat at the table at Commerce. I was a chair was pulled up to the table, and I was invited to sit down. And I think, again, that comes down to people and personalities and the leadership tone that's being set from above. And I think if you have the right people, it almost happens automatically. And if you don't have the right people, it's hard to legislate that. You can't fix that problem by passing a law. So what I would advise more than anything else is make sure you have the right types of people who are in place in these very senior leadership, very important positions that can work together and can work towards shared goals, set aside parochial local interests and collaborate towards the greater good of the agency and at times even the federal government, which perhaps some situations the what's best for the government might be in a slightly different direction than what's best locally.
Gentlemen, that's all the time we have, and I thank you very much for a terrific conversation that we'll look to continue because these issues are not going to go away. Thank you very much, both of you.
Thank you. Always happy to be here.